The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. I'm Rob Steele, he's Todd Vandenberg, and we've got movies and movie news and stuff. Let's start off with something that kind of looks like it should be German. Because if you've ever been in German, a lot of stuff ends with DB, like IMDB, which got a facelift recently. And I got to say, for the most part, I like it. Except that there is no more little news blurbs on the front page. You have to actually go to the news page to get the news stuff. I don't care for that. Other than that, I think it looks nice. What do you think?
Agreed. Yeah, I was... it's kind of funny. I think they've redesigned it since the redesign, oddly. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it just seems like it's has a small change again. Yeah,
oops,
it's...
We meant to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a... It makes sense. I mean, it's a redesign. It looks nice and clean. It is kind of weird not to have news at the moment you pop on the site, but yeah, you know, it works.
I like that. It's just a me being picky thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's being picky. It's being, yeah, okay, it's being picky.
Yeah. It's but, you know, it's a computer thing, which goes into the next several stories. See, I'm segueing properly. Disney announced they're doing what they're calling a live-action Bambi movie. No! It is not a live-action Bambi movie. It is a computer-generated graphic Bambi movie like The Lion King was, because that wasn't live-action either. Halfwits.
Are you no sure it's not live-action?
Maybe yes, you can't train deer.
Well, maybe they just... They have a lot of money. They could just, like, randomly shoot video of deer until they...
Until they're it comes exactly... out right.
Yeah, until it comes out right. I'm sure they can move their mouths and then lip sync until the deer moves it. Yeah, I agree.
So it's going to look like, what, the Angry Orange?
Yeah.
Whatever that show is called.
That would be awesome. Ooh, I want the live version of Angry Orange, which is kind of that. But yeah, we don't need another version of Bambi first. And definitely that, it's annoying when they call these things live action because...
They're not.
They're not. They're CGI, you morons. It's like, why are you doing this? Now, Mulan, yes, that's live action. It has human beings.
It has peoples.
On camera. And I'm actually looking forward to this. I saw the trailer. The trailer looks really good. I didn't detect a single song. Nothing wrong with the songs in Disney movies at all. But I think it would be very cool. And who knows if they have songs or not. You'd think if they do, they'd be in the trailer, but we'll see. But I think it'd be very cool to tell that story, just to tell the story, as opposed from doing the musical. Right. Because make it a little more different again. So
mission accomplished, I would think.
Yeah. This is one of the few Disney reworks that I'm really looking forward to, because this is going to be very different, because this really will be live action.
As opposed to
Bambi? No.
No, the new version of Ghost in the Shell, which they made live action, and boy, did they screw it up. So they've gone back to, they've actually got a new Ghost in the Shell standalone complex series coming. So this is basically season three of the series that made the show immensely popular enough to make a live action screw up. This is Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex 2045, which means it's 15 years after the first series. And this time it's not, excuse me, traditional anime. It is 3D CGI art, much in the same vein as when they redid another one of their creators' properties, Appleseed, where they went back and... they did a non-traditional CG thing where instead of taking a stick and animating it and then putting a skin on top of it, and that's how they do CG, they drew a frame in in the computer, and then they drew another frame, and then they drew another frame. They did traditional animation in the computer, which looks, it's kind of weird, but at the same time, it's smooth and beautiful. And that's what it looks like they tried to do with this. I don't know if they did or not. I'm going to watch the series anyway, because I've been waiting, what, 20 years for them to come up with more. So there's that.
Sounds very interesting. So, in other words, this is what Disney would call live action.
I would think so. But of course, we can flip live action with two deaths, kind of, this week, but of the same thing, and yet not of the same thing. There was a reiteration that Beetlejuice will not be being made. There will not be a sequel to it, which coincides with a story on CNN about the star Beetlejuice, which apparently went Nova and will be disappearing from our sky soon, which is kind of sad and nice. Now means that the Orion constellation will no longer have an armpit.
That's very sad and strange.
I don't know if you, did you know that? That's what Beetlejuice actually meant was, armpit, which kind of makes the movie make more sense.
I did not know that. That makes the movie make a lot of sense.
I found that out, I think it was like a year or two after the movie, and then I kind of went, really? It does fit.
Yeah, because you picture that character, Michael Keaton definitely is playing kind of like an armpit.
Armpit fits? You kind of go, I'm glad they didn't call it that.
I don't know. Armpit. Interesting.
So, moving on to other star-related news. If you haven't started watching Picard...
I like what you did there.
Thank you. Thank you. If you haven't started watching Picard, I'm kind of torn as to whether to recommend going ahead and getting CBS All Access now, or waiting until the whole series comes out, then you can binge it. Either way... So far, what I've seen with the whopping two episodes that are out so far, if you want more Next Generation, here you go. It's this. I like this. Yes, Picard and Data are the only people we've seen so far. No, I'm not going to tell you how Data came back, if he even did. It could be a dream. But I'm not going to say that definitively.
Oh.
So it's good. It has a good story. It has good characters so far. The only complaint we've had is that it might be a wee bit slow, but I think that's to catch people up who've never watched Star Trek before. So that's fine. But on another Star Trek related note, and this is particularly aimed at the, I believe he's an impeached flavored Cheeto.
Mm.
If you're going to come out with a new logo for the 6th branch of our military, making it pointier and changing the words does not make it not the Star Trek logo. but I think a lot of people have already seen the Space Force logo and gone, that's Star Trek, you halfwit.
Yeah.
But that's not the only thing that came out for that this week. There is I have not been able to actually find the paperwork, but apparently a pamphlet was put out outlining the mission statement for Space Force, which was pretty much blatantly copied and pasted from the instructions to the video game StarCraft. So,
well, at least it doesn't say to boldly go.
It might somewhere.
Yeah. Aside from the whole thing of, do we really need a Space Force at this point?
We're having trouble with our own planet.
Yeah, I picture maybe eventually someday we'll need a Space Force, but yeah, we don't really need a Space Force right now. Yeah, it might be wise not to just blatantly rip off a logo of a science fiction franchise, which is kind of stupid. There's lots of design concepts out there. Would have been easy to come up with something. It would have been much easier to come up with something different rather than something which is very, very similar. I'm not really sure why, again, the first photo that you would release of a uniform is going to be camouflage. If you are, wouldn't it look like a starfield?
Or just black.
Yeah, this is very, I have no idea who is doing this concept work for them. I picture it might be one of Baron's little cousins. Because how old is Baron now? He's 14.
Is he?
Something like that. He would come up with something much, much better than this. So I have no idea who's coming up with these insanely stupid designs. And I would say this, if this was Barack Obama who'd come up with this, I would come up with this if this was Teddy Roosevelt doing this or Abraham Lincoln. It's just a...
I would give Lincoln a few more props if he came up with the Space Force logo that looked like Star Trek that wasn't out yet.
I would give him props for being very forward-thinking, indeed. But even Lincoln would not come up with camouflage uniforms.
I don't think so.
Because it's just incredibly mindless. And even if the only money they've spent so far is just whatever $18 they spent to whatever hack came up with that logo, and whatever genius decided to have camouflage uniforms in space, I'm surprised they don't have pigs in a recruiting poster.
They might.
Wow.
Well, Trump is going to be on the recruiting poster, I would think. So, yeah, they do have
pigs in space.
Pigs in space.
Just
watch the old Muppet shows if you have no idea what we're talking about, by the way.
Yes, please watch the old Muppet shows because they're wonderful.
That too. I'm sure they're on Disney Plus, aren't they?
I don't know. They should be, though.
I think they are.
Everything else should be on Disney Plus, so why not?
Moving on to actual movie reviews.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to get these out of the way because, look, I'm sorry. I did watch two more musical... one's a musical documentary, one isn't. But
okay.
Todd is responsible for the one that isn't. And I'll get to that in a minute.
Woo.
I'm going to start with another documentary. I did not know this one existed, again, because when I found the ones that I found last week for New Order and Duran Duran, one from Depeche Mode called Spirits in the Forest, and it's available on YouTube or Google Play if you want to watch it, although I'm not sure why you'd want to. Not that I don't like Depeche Mode. I do like Depeche Mode. They're a fun band.
Yes.
However, when I started this movie, I'm going to tell you something that someone should have told me. It's not so much about the band as it is about these group of people that met each other in a chat room from all over the planet and decided to go to a Depeche Mode concert in Germany. I did not know this. So for the first 3 minutes of the movie, I'm watching the life of some girl in, I think it was Singapore. And I don't know why. She didn't say her name until half an hour into the movie. So I don't know who she is. It's 4 minutes into the movie. And yes, I counted until she mentions Depeche Mode. Because I'm sitting here watching it going, did I turn on the wrong thing? What the hell? And then eventually they explain that, we're all Depeche Mode fans because there's this guy over here in Russia who likes Depeche Mode because of this, and a guy in America who likes them because of this, and I don't care because I don't know who the hell any of you people are, you know. And this is all interspersed with concert footage of Depeche Mode, which I would like to ask a quick question. And you can contact the show through Twitter and Facebook through our website, cinemasavants.com, by the way, if you haven't been there yet. There's not much to it. It's very simple. But then again, we're a simple show.
We're simple people.
Dave Gahan, when the hell did he turn into Tom Ellis's Lucifer? And I phrased that properly. Because he's always been a bit, I'll go with flamboyant, but I'm watching this and, oh my God, he has turned into Lucifer from the TV series of the same name. It's just weird.
Not a bad thing.
To me, it's not a bad thing. It's not a complaint. It's just, I guess he's a fan of the show. I don't know. Just pointing it out. Anyway, there was a Depeche Mode movie a bajillion years ago called 101 that I think, if you like the band, is considerably better. But if you really want to watch Spirits in the Forest, then get Princess Mononoke.
Nice plug. I like that.
Nice plug, because we haven't mentioned him at all this year. yeah, and that's really all I've got to say about the Depeche Mode movie. There's not much Depeche Mode to it. The other movie, because Todd mentioned... See, I did the New Order movie last week, and he thought I was going to do the Pet Shop Boys. Well, guess what? The Pet Shop Boys had their own movie. This is not a documentary. They did a movie called It Couldn't Happen Here. Now, if you want to watch this movie, you're on your own. Sorry, Todd did another spit take.
Yeah.
It is not on YouTube. It is not on Google Play. It is not on Apple. You cannot buy it from Amazon. No, I'm sorry. You can buy it from Amazon on VHS for $100. Yeah, don't.
It'd be cheaper to just go hang out with the Pet Shop Boys and have them reenact it.
Well, maybe. I'll get to that bit in a minute. See, my thing is, it came out in 1987 when the Pet Shop Boys were big. And I went to several video stores trying to find this movie. And several people were actually also interested in it. And so we tried to track it down in 1987.
I was going to say, when did this happen? Because what does video stores mean?
1987. You want to guess when I found the movie? You want to guess?
Last week.
Close. 2014. I finally found it. It was and I'll admit this, it was a bootleg because it was a DVD. They never made a DVD out of this. I found it at a flea market and went, oh my God, I forgot I was looking for this in 1987. Now, I got this in 2014.
When you do the documentary,
When
you do the documentary on your search for this Pet Shop Boys movie, leave out the part where you admit that you forgot you were looking for it, because you're ruining the whole concept of this.
Every so often I remember and go, I wonder, oh, this internet thing exists now. Maybe I can find it. No, it's not here. Well, crap. Yeah, I got it in 2014. We are now in 2020. I have watched it once a year. Because in all honesty, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell it's about. I think I mean this is a good thing. The story as it's described on IMDb is that it's supposed to be a satirical look at life in the UK in the 80s. And I'm wondering, how much crack did these Brits do? Because, my God, this movie doesn't... It's... Wow. Okay, Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe, the actual Pet Shop Boys, are in it. Are they playing themselves? Maybe? I haven't been able to figure that out yet. This movie's a bit weird. Are there other actors you'd recognize? There's a guy named Jack Bond, who is apparently James's little brother, or may as well be, because, yeah, why not? There's a guy who pops up occasionally in the movie, who sometimes has large, fake, almost Ferengi-like ears for no reason that I've been able to figure out. And he occasionally has a ventriloquist dummy that may or may not be possessed. If it's not possessed, he's a lot better at ventriloquism than I was giving him credit for being. Let's see, who else is in this? Joss Ackland, who you may remember from Lethal Weapon 2. As the guy, he was the bad guy. Diplomatic immunity. That's Joss Ackland.
Ah.
He's in this, and you've seen him in other stuff. But in the States, I think that's the role everyone knows him for. He's in this movie as someone who may or may not be a blind pedophilic priest. Depends on which scene he pops up in. Now, I'm going to give you a much easier way of watching this movie that you can do. This movie was the one that gave us the Pet Shop Boys cover of the Willie Nelson, I think it was a Willie Nelson song, Always on My Mind, which their version of it, I like. It's good, even if it did inspire Willie Nelson to then cover the Pet Shop Boys' West End Girls, which if you've ever heard that song, or Willie Nelson's version of that song, that makes more sense than this movie. Because Willie Nelson singing about the West End of London, I'm sorry, really? That makes more sense than this. Anyway, the Pet Shop Boys video for Always on My Mind has a lot of clips from this movie, including the first ever clip of Chris Lowe smiling. which is because he's Neil's the front man who is doing the singing, and he's always emotional. And Chris has always been in the background playing a keyboard, looking kind of somewhere between somber and pissed. I'm not sure which it is. But in this video, he turns to the camera and smiles, which is, he has a nice smile, but it's a little bit disconcerting because we've never seen him do it before publicly in a video or anything. I'm just saying, it's kind of like when you see Kristen Stewart smile for the first time and you go, holy crap, there might be a range of emotions that she'll never put on the screen. Anyway, that's what made me want to see this movie. I went, holy crap, he smiles. Maybe he can talk too. Who knows? Yeah, I think he had a line, but it was in the video too. So you're not going to miss it. The video has clips from the movie, and it's going to make a lot more sense than this movie did. But if you happen to listen to us and do a lot of crack or hallucinogens, maybe you can watch it and get back to us and tell me what the hell it's about. Because quite frankly, after 5 years of watching this movie, I still don't know. How's that for a review?
That is a review. A 27-year journey culminates in,
hey, I still don't know. What the hell is this?
It's like you're living the U2 song. I still don't know what I'm looking for.
Incidentally, the Pet Shop Boys did cover that at one point.
Of course they did.
They covered it and they mixed it with, what was it? It was an old show tune.
What?
How's this? Why don't you review your movie while I look up which song it was?
That's a brilliant segue. I'll review my movie while you're looking up
which Pet Shop Boys song got mixed together with
an old show tune. Wow. Yeah. Ooh, I hope it was Oklahoma. I hope this is not another 27-year search too. All right, so there's no way that I can think of to make this segue, so I'm just going to talk about something that happened. Ooh, this depicts things that happened further back in the mists of time than Rob began his search for the Pet Shop Boys movie. So I'm talking about 1917, which is one of the films that's nominated for Best Picture in the upcoming Oscars. By the time you hear this, the Oscars will be less than a week away because they are in the second Sunday in February. 1917 is it brilliant or is it borderline brilliant? I don't know. You should watch it and find out for yourself. It depicts the journey of a couple of soldiers, and spoiler alert, this takes place in 1917 and they're soldiers, so it has to do with World War One. So there are two British soldiers and they're just kind of hanging out, having a rest because fighting is hard, so they should have a rest. And one of their sergeants comes up to him and says, you, pick a man, come with me. Like, okay, so he just picks his buddy. And they have no idea what they're going for, but they're just going up and talking to their commander. So the commander tells him, hey, your brother's in this unit, right? Sure, yes, he is. Okay, well, he's going to be dead tomorrow unless you get this message to his commanding officer. Because this unit is in a separate area, and they're in France, and they are about to launch a counterattack because the Germans are retreating, and the British have them on the run. Except they don't really, because they have aerial photographs, because this was high technology back then, that shows that the Germans have merely strategically retreated to set a trap so that they could kill this unit of Brits, to lure them into this trap.
It's a trap? Admiral Akbar is in this movie.
Admiral Akbar is in this movie. He almost could have been. So that's their mission. So the mission of these two guys, just two guys, have to cross no man's land, which was the demarcation between the Allied forces and the German forces. And they don't know for sure if their path is clear. They're told their path is clear, but it's war. You never know what's going to happen. So they have to take this message to the unit and tell them, no, it's a trap. So their 1,600 men don't get slaughtered, including one of the characters' brothers. So that's what this movie is. But some of the things about this movie, for one thing, it's shot so that it looks like it's all one take, which a few movies have done this before. Note, the first one I can think of is Hitchcock's Rope, which came out like in 1950. And of course, that was actually shot on film because they didn't have them fancy doodads called digital stuff. And to move between scenes, Hitchcock would zoom in on something dark. He would zoom in like on the back of someone's jacket and then pick up so that the moves between scenes would be, well, they would be seamless, except you would have to zoom in on something, on an object to block your view and then move on from that point. So the whole thing looks like it's all done in one take, which is brilliant. 1917 basically does the same thing, although because techniques are a little bit better, they're zooming in on just something that at some point has a vertical line somewhere in the frame, but you still see the characters walking around, et cetera, et cetera. So it tracks one of the two main characters the entire time. It never leaves them. So the tension, and it's a very tense, gripping movie because are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Are they going to get killed here? Are they going to get killed here? No, they'll probably, oh my God, they're going to get killed here. So this is constantly going on. And at the same time, you never leave them. So you're just immersed in what they're experiencing. The two leads, and again, this is basically a British film, Sam Mendes. Should have mentioned Sam Mendes, the director, who has done the last two Bond movies. So he knows how to do action. Lots of action. This is not an action film by any means, but it's a war film. So when there is action, there's action.
There's action.
So the two leads are unknown to me. There's a few characters that are portrayed by actors you will definitely know. And it's not like it takes you out of the moment. But to me, the fact that these two leads are, at least for American audiences, are anonymous really helps sell the whole thought that you're watching these two guys. And it makes it seem even more real. You're never looking at it like somewhere in the back of your mind when you're watching Mission Impossible, you know it's Tom Cruise, and you might be wrapped up in the plot because, wow, this is a really cool movie and I really like the action, and wow, I can't believe Tom Cruise actually did that because he's freaking crazy. Why would you do that, Tom? But you still know it's Tom Cruise. So somewhere in your little lizard hindbrain, you know this is still a movie. Well, that's gone in this film. You're just watching these two guys. It's very suspenseful because, again, you have no idea if either of them is going to make it because it's a war film. And as happens very often in war films, things don't work out well. It reminds me of a great movie from the 80s, A Bridge Too Far, which is an excellent war film. And spoiler alert, again, for a movie that's been out as long as Rob started his search for the Pet Shop Boys movie, it doesn't end well for the good guys. Which is one of the reasons I really like that movie, because a big part of it is it's about the futility of war. So, or think of Saving Private Ryan. Spoiler alert again for a movie that's been out for decades. That doesn't end well for a lot of the people in the movie because it's war. So you don't know what's going to happen in this film until it happens. So you've got that tension, and the fact that you're locked in with these characters for the entire film. And it's not point of view. It switches to their point of view on occasion, but you're still seeing like the other guy. It never leaves them. And that just really ramps up the tension. Vox.com has an excellent article about this. It's called Why Sam Mendes Made 1917 Look Like a Shot in a Single Continuous Take. And basically it just says that because he wanted to ramp up the tension. But there's a lot more information on it. It's by Alyssa Wilkinson, and it's a great interview with Mendes. But the film looks incredible. So kudos to Mendes for making it look great and his cinematographer. And to Ms. Christy Wilson Cairns, who is the co-writer on this, because again, it's a great script. Absolutely one of the best movies last year. Whether or not it should win Best Picture, apparently the early buzz is that it's in a dead heat with, surprisingly, Parasite, which, great movie. Just surprised that the Oscars the voters of the Oscars would even consider a foreign language film with a really weird concept.
Foreign film.
Yeah.
I'm just remembering last week where I thought you said porn still. So I was,
Foreign film, a Korean drama kind of movie, which is really out there and weird. So if they really are considering that movie, kudos to them just for kind of breaking their mindset.
Breaking the mold.
Yeah. But if 1917 wins, that's cool. It's deserving as some of the other films. But again, it's still out there in theaters, and it's a great war movie. It's a great suspense film. It looks amazing. If you get a chance, check YouTube or Google some of the behind the scenes videos, which of course will be on the eventual soon digital release of how they shot the film, because that alone is really entertaining. But highly recommend 1917. And yeah, it's a war movie, so it's not a happy movie. It's not Kelly's Heroes. So another callback to something that came out around the time Rob first started looking for pet. Actually, it's older than that, but you know.
Yeah, but you know, still.
Actually, very good
film. I looked them up. Lance Corporal Blake was apparently in Game of Thrones.
Oh, well, there we go.
And I looked up the other one, who was Lance Corporal Schofield.
Yes.
I mean, both of them have been in other stuff, but as near as I can tell, none of it was in the States.
Which, by the way, Schofield is played by Dean Charles Chapman, and the other guy is George McKay. So thank you for looking them up. And everybody in this movie is terrific. I mean, just a really, really solid film. This is one of those movies that Disney would call live action because it has actual actors. But yeah, there's lots of CGI in this because obviously they didn't want to like kill people. But it looks amazing. Really, really good.
All the planes they would want to use in this movie are in museums and don't really work as well as they used to. Who knew? Except everybody.
Although if it had been Christopher Nolan, he would go find the plane and have it restored so he can use it like he did in Dunkirk, which is like, dude.
The kind of thing he can't take his eyes off, which, by the way, is the name of the song that the Pet Shop Boys mixed with Where the Streets Have No Name. And I thought it was a show tune, but Can't Take My Eyes Off You by Frankie Valli, apparently.
Well, that's as good as a show tune, because, wow.
It's old enough to be a show tune. If you want to listen to that song, it's actually on YouTube.
I'm trying to process those two songs in my head together.
When you see it written down next to each other on the back of a CD or something, you go, really? And then you actually listen to it and go, holy crap, it actually kind of worked.
I was going to say, if it works, that's genius level work right there. It's like, wow.
They're a good band. They just don't know how the hell to make a movie.
Or maybe they do.
Maybe it's better than I'm giving it credit for being. But you see, this kind of blows the whole exit of the show. 1917, you can go see. The Depeche Mode movie, you can stay at home at sea and see.
Maybe.
But see, I'm going to tell you right now that, you know, to end the show, you should get out and go see a movie. And God help you if you want it to be the Pet Shop Boys one. Because I don't know where you're going to find it. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.